Sometimes the call is to be healthy. Sometimes it's to be active. But how about the call to be holy? Let's think about it. The Encouraging Word. And more than just think about it, let's open God's Word and hear a message from Dr. Don Wilton about it. The message is called to be holy. Welcome on in. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as we open God's Word, we'll be gaining insight on things that move us away from the norm of what our society might say is important. Again, we do need to be healthy. We need to be active. We need to be involved. But the call to holiness will change all of that for the better. As we study, know that we're available for you. Love to pray with you. Connect with great resources at 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Here's Dr. Wilton.
How do you live this life with the issues that we face, the sadness and the sorrow and the separation? You know, our parents who are aging, sons and daughters, and struggles in life, finances, sickness. I don't know the things, you know, that you and I, we all go through this. I love being a Christian, because when Jesus came into my life, He gave me something that I don't have in myself. Often use the phrase, you know, that the Lord Jesus is the best friend that you will ever have. And it's absolutely true. You know, where would we be without the Lord Jesus? I want to invite you today to trust Jesus as your Savior. Give your life to Him. You know, for some of you today, and boy, do I love you, draw a line in the sand. Make that decision today. God has been speaking to your heart, and He's been making Himself known to you. Last week, when I began this, my seven-week series in 1 Peter, you are chosen. You're special to the Lord. You've got a very unique place in the heart of God, and Jesus died for you. And some of you listening to me right now, you know that it's time. It's time for you to surrender your life to Christ. You know that. And I'll tell you, as soon as you walk out of church, as soon as you switch that television set off, that old devil is going to do everything to take your mind off. You'll just go back to the same stuff come Monday morning. You'll be in the same position. Christ gives you joy and meaning. You know, this is really where we are in the study in 1 Peter. I'm just doing a summary. There's so many themes here in this great book. And today, when we consider living up, why? What is it that God has done for us? It's not what we've done for Him. It's what God does for us. And today we're in one of the most phenomenal passages, action-packed, full, rich, without being silly about this. I mean, we could be in the passage I'm about to read to you for the next year. It's such a mind filled with the trophies of God's grace. I want to read to you, so open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Just listen to what God's Word says to us. And then I'm going to show you why it is that we can live it up. We can live it up. We can live life to the fullest because we are holy. We are holy. And some of you are going to say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, impossible. In fact, I look around here, I see a lot of my friends, and immediately I know this cannot be possible. It's like I've got this big contradiction. I can see them all sitting around here, and I'm saying to myself, I need to change this whole message today, because none of us can be. See, that's why Jesus is so wonderful. I'm going to use a big word here. This is God's imputed righteousness. Christ in me. It's what Jesus does in me and through me that for me enables me to lead the life that he wants me to lead. And you'll see in just a minute in verse 15, I haven't even got there yet. In verse 15, Peter says, "Be holy," God said, "because I am holy." Not be holy because you are holy. I cannot be holy. Holy is God's righteousness. I cannot do that. But because Christ is in me, I am declared by him and through him and for him to be holy, because he covers me. In a sense, he embraces me with the totality of all that he is, so that I can be all that I need to be in and through him. The Christian life is not about me, it's about him. That's why you can live it up, because greater is he that's in me. It's because of Christ in me. I cannot love like I need to, but Christ in me enables me to do that. I cannot even do mundane things like apologize when I do something wrong. That just runs against it. But I do it, and I can do it, and I can ask someone else to forgive me and say I'm sorry, because Christ in me changes everything, and he works through me. I cannot grieve properly. I cannot be released of the unbelievable sadness and grief of the death of somebody that I really love. I cannot do that. It just rips my heart out. But Christ in me enables me through him to be able to take that grief and translate it into a spiritual joy. That's why Paul put it like this. This is what he said. He said, "We grieve, but not like those people who have no hope." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who is holy, who called you, you also are enabled to be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy,' God said, 'because I'm holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times," get this, "for your sake," for my sake, he did this for us. Wow. "Who through him," that's through Jesus, "are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope in God are purified." It's like Jesus comes into my life and he filters through me, and in so doing, enables me to become rid of all the impurities. And that's a lifelong battle. It's a lifelong surrender. It's a continual, habitual discipline of the spiritual life. Being holy is a willful act of obedience. based on the fact that I know Christ is my Savior and that He lives in my heart. So what I want to do for just a few moments is ask the question, why the call to holiness? Why? And this passage here really gives us three wonderful reasons. I want you to just think about it. Number one, because we've been given a living hope. If you go all the way back to verse 3, I didn't read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Why the call to holiness? Because we have been given a living hope. This is a living hope. Now, folks, this living hope, number one, comes from God. It hasn't come from my banker. It hasn't come from my friend down the road. It hasn't come from my wife. It hasn't come from my grandchildren. This living hope, I love that verse 3, my heavenly Father. Just think about that. God has given to us this living hope. It comes from God, made possible, secondly, according to that passage, through Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus, and guaranteed forever. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Don't put this off. Don't wait. Don't go through life doing this on your own. We have been given a living hope. Number one, that comes from God. Number two, made possible through Jesus. Number three, guaranteed forever. Folks, I have been to so many funerals, and you cannot describe the difference between the funeral service of someone who had Jesus living in their heart and someone who did not. It's like chalk and cheese. You cannot even compare the two. When someone dies and they've had nothing to do with the Lord, all you do is get up there and accolades, which are wonderful. We need that. We need good citizens. We need people who are engaged and involved. That's incredible. That's what Christ does for me. When you get up at a funeral service and you're talking about someone who lived for the Lord, it's this holiness thing. And by the way, the holiness thing is not a halo thing. Again, I see some of my friends here that I play golf with. No way. I mean, holiness is not even going to come into this. I'm changing this whole message again right now. It's not about a halo or about... This is something about who God is. You see, this living hope is real. This living hope is energizing. This living hope is purpose-driven. I can live it up because we are holy in Him.
Forgive the interruption. It's exciting to think about that concept of being holy in Him. And we'll finish that with Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But he insists that I interrupt because it's important you know that this is not just a presentation. We call it a conversation. And so we'd love to hear from you. If there's something going on as we're studying the Word together that the Lord stirs in your spirit, you'd like to have someone pray with you, pray for you, or maybe you want to dig a little deeper, look at our resources, go to our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or give us a call. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, maybe connect you to resources at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Now, why this call? Number one, because we've been given a living hope. But Peter goes further than that. He says, we are called to holiness because we set our hope fully on Jesus coming. We are an expectant people. We're looking. We're waiting. Jesus is coming. Look at verse 13. This is where he tells us all about this. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation, the making known, the unveiling, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people today are asking questions, a lot of questions. You know, in all of this, whether I'm walking around looking at fabulous cars that people have, or whether I'm speaking and fellowshipping with one of my favorite organizations, the Gideon's International, and their ministry, or whether I'm standing at the bedside of somebody, or whether I'm grieving over my father's death, or whether I'm celebrating my oldest grandson's salvation and baptism. I am called to holiness because I can set my hope fully on Jesus coming. Folks, watch me. My mind is not just simply on an election. My focus and my mind is on Jesus, and He's coming. And He tells us, He says, you're called to holiness because you can set your hope fully on the full, complete unveiling and revelation of Jesus Christ, which means, first of all, that you can prepare for action. That's what He tells us right there in verse 13. He says, prepare for action. By the way, that's a great, it's a great illustration. Do you know back in Peter's day, I hate to break the news to you, but men wore kind of dresses. I'm just going to have to come out. I mean, they were like, what do you call them? I mean, like gowns or something, but they had these dresses. And the word there to prepare for action is literally taken from the phrase that as you walk, don't be encumbered. Tuck it up, tighten it up, pick it up so that your feet are free to operate. I do a lot of wonderful weddings here in our church. I mean, it's just, I've got some wonderful weddings coming up again. So I get an opportunity to speak to the bridal party at all the preparation the night before the wedding director. Boy, I'm going to pay a heavy price for that one. You know, one of the things that I always say, and I always feel quite silly saying this, because we got these steps here, and I have no idea what dress the bride's going to wear, but I always say, now, I have no idea, sweetheart, what your dress is, but it could be real long with a lot of stuff all over it, you know. And I said, when you come here and I'm speaking to the groom, be very careful when you walk up here. Now, can you imagine? He has this beautiful wedding. Everything. I mean, everything's in place. Everybody's so excited. Here comes the bride. She looks like a knockout. And we're ready for the wedding. And here they come up. And I walk up here like this. I'm ready now. And I turn around. I nod so that they know that they got to get up here so that I can marry them and make it official. And they take off. And she forgets to prepare for action. The one thing I don't ever want to see in a wedding in this church is for a bride to step on her dress, coming up these steps. You know how you prevent that from happening? You gather together. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, the call to holiness is based on the fact that you can set your hope fully on Jesus, which means, according to verse 13, that you can prepare for action. You can tighten your belt every time you stand up. Please prepare yourself for action. Don't turn suddenly. Watch where you walk. Calculate every step. You can prepare for action. It also means that you don't have to be ignorant. When you get down into verse 14, he puts that there. He says, as obedient children, you no longer have to live in ignorance. That's a powerful statement. The non-Christian world is an ignorant world. When Christ lives in your heart, all of a sudden you tap into the one who made us, the one who created the world, the one who knows how it all comes together, and who knows the beginning from the end. So the call to holiness comes because we've been given a living hope and is because we set our hope fully on Jesus coming, the revelation of Jesus. But it also is based on the fact that we can purify ourselves through obedience. You know, it's very interesting in verse 22. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Now, that is an amazing thing. We're back to this discipline thing. Just proud of our athletes, you know. And you watch them. They put so much time and so much effort in. Now, you just think about this. Ryan Lochte got everything you can imagine. Everything you can imagine. Racing, winning medals, fine young man, still is a fine young man, got endorsements, an incredible future, respect, honor, you know, you name it, gosh. So he gets through all of this and he and three friends of his say, well, let's go let it rip. And on one night, they stay up all night in some place in Rio. I mean, he said, I didn't say this. He uses the word intoxicated. Let me tell you what he did. This incredible young man went to some club with some of his friends and drank himself into a stupor and then goes and behaves like that because wine is such a mocker. It destroys people, destroys families, destroys lives, destroys marriages, kills people on the highway. This young guy, fit as a fiddle, Olympic medals, endorsements all over the place, and for the sake of what? What? You know something, there's a little bit of that in all of us. I'm one step away from a random act of stupidity. I'll guarantee you, we've got some kids who grew up in this church. They've been to every mission thing, Bible clubs, given their lives to Christ, done this, done that, gone singing prisons, been overseas, and have the best parents in the world. And they arrived at Clemson University, at South Carolina, at Auburn, at NC State, at this university. These great universities, they, the same kid that grew up under your hat, they arrived there, and the first thing they ran into was somebody telling them, you want to be accepted on this campus? Here's what you're going to do. And some of you think that's funny. I don't. Some of you are going to look at me and you're going to say to me, Pastor, get a life. You're old-fashioned. You're out of date. Let kids be kids. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to sit by and watch our girls get assaulted and people's lives be changed and young people destroy themselves for the sake of random acts of just rank stupidity. Now, what is God saying to us? Now, let's look at that verse again. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for sincerity and brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. See, what Peter's talking about living up here, folks, is this is a spiritual gift that requires a spiritual discipline. It's been made available to us. And what has been made available to us is the imperishable truth of the love of God who dwells in us. This is who we are. And what Peter is saying is take hold of this. And if we can purify ourselves through obedience, means we can love each other deeply, deeply. Yeah, that's such a powerful statement there. He says, love one another earnestly. Really, the English word there is love one another deeply. There's a deep, deep love. Not just because I say so, but because it's true, I have a deep, deep love for you. I'm telling you, I have such a deep love for you. And that deep love drives me. It compels me. It holds me to a standard. How much more so the love of Christ? How much more wonderful the love of Christ? And then he puts, so to speak, the cherry on the top. He says, which means we can love one another deeply, but it also means that we can count on God's word. There's the final word. Look here in verse 25. The word of the Lord remains forever. Don't you love that? In a world today where it would seem to me that everybody's trying to remove the word of God, what Peter is saying is, wait a minute. Everything about you is given to you in and through the word of God. God's promises. This is like a treasure chest. This is what it means to live up, folks. Now look, we're in this together. All of us. All of us. We're all in this together. We're all on the same footing. We're all striving. We're all dealing with life. All of us. And every one of us have different things that we're all dealing with. But we have one thing that's in common. It's Jesus.
Indeed we do. We have that in common if we belong to Jesus. You've heard Dr. Wilton preach from the pulpit. Now, as he comes into the studio, open your heart to what he has to say next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, if God stirred your heart to a decision, let's talk about it. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Yes, tewonline.org. It's a great place to stay connected.
Are you in need of some encouragement? Do you have a friend or loved one that could use some cheering up? Do you need help finding a church to attend? Perhaps you want to know how to lead a friend to Jesus. We're here to help. Visit twonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You can submit prayer requests and praise reports, request a copy of the Daily Encouraging Word devotional by email, even in Spanish, make donations to the Encouraging Word, purchase Christian messages and books to grow your faith and to encourage others. Discover how to lead someone to Jesus. Request help in finding a church. Visit tewonline.org. We would love to hear how the radio broadcast is making an impact on your life. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a wonderful day of studying God's Word together, and we'll do it again tomorrow, same time, as we talk about Good Friday and we think about what the resurrection really means. I'm excited to share this time with you tomorrow right here at the same spot. Remember, if you miss something, visit us online at tewonline.org. You can hear rebroadcasts, connect with other resources, or call us for prayer anytime at 866-899-9673.